Hey, welcome to the first Rethink Campus Crusade for Christ Blog Friends podcast. Really excited to do this. It's been a dream of mine, one, to start the Blog Friends, but two, to really facilitate conversations around ministry philosophy, because there's so much happening out there. Culture's changing, students are changing, and talking about what we're seeing and learning and applying the principles that we're used to is really the key. So excited to have Dan Birch with me. He's a new staff at Arizona State University and was also on staff with me at Chico State. My name's Brian. I'm the founder of the Blog Friends and been on staff for about 9 years, the last five at Chico State. Two before that was at UCLA. And so had a great conversation yesterday on Twitter, actually, and I fell asleep. And Dan and quite a bit of other staff jumped in on it. And so I wanted to start out by, just reading a couple tweets and getting Dan's thoughts on it and just having a conversation here. So the conversation centered around how to do evangelism the first few weeks on campus. And the reality is, as much as we want to do evangelism and reach out to non-Christians all the time, we have Christians obviously seeking to find us on campus, and then we just have the natural administrative realities of trying to follow up people that are interested, lots of contact cards, Christians who think they're Christians but aren't, so on and so forth. And so a few thoughts. One from DJ, he's a great guy on staff at the University of Arizona, said that he finds most first week stuff is centered on getting contacts, which tend to be Christians or people that think they're Christians. And another thought from Tim Castile, he's at University of Arkansas, the MTL director there, said that Christians will come to Christ relationally throughout the year from those people that we gather. And so, Dan, what are your thoughts just on that first 4 weeks in general? How about the realities first? Like, as much as we talk and philosophize and all those sorts of things, what actually happens from your experience the first 4 weeks of school?
Yeah, I think that there is an excitement to the fall, and there's a lot of new things going on, and there's a tendency to just kind of want to go all out. But in the bigger kind of scope of things, gathering those people seeking or already Christian, those first 4 weeks are just so crucial to the entire year. It's crucial to your movement for however many years you're there. So those initial Christians that you gather can be mobilized to reach non-Christians, and that's why those first couple weeks are just so...
Yeah, that's good. I think what I noticed from what you're saying too is there's really a... Even though we are really trying to gather and evangelize those first few weeks, there's a reality that we're really building for the long term too. And so as much as we're obviously trying to get as many people to come to the first 4 week events and be plugged in, we're also have an eye towards the future and really building a movement that has the capacity to reach out to more people. And like you said, we can't reach out to more people unless we have a solid core of students who are aligned to what we're doing and want to do those sorts of things. And usually those are Christians that have gotten involved from whatever process. So I wanted to get your thoughts on this, Dan. One of the things I noticed too is that I think the problems or the tensions that Campus Crusade leaders are facing too is that their student leaders don't want to participate in evangelism. It's not that they themselves, because as I was looking at the conversations on Twitter, everybody 100% wants to do evangelism. That's their desire, and they're desperate to learn new practices and implement things. And so if it's not them that's the problem, it might be their student leaders who just aren't aligned. So what are your thoughts on really being really selective? My thought is just basically that we need to be as open as possible to non-Christians, but be highly selective in terms of who we pick for leadership. Have you noticed anything on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, it's just kind of having that overall bird's eye view of everything and seeing that, the ultimate goal is to reach the campus for Jesus, and selecting leaders and even finding potential leaders those first 4 weeks is just so crucial into setting up your movement and building things around them that make evangelism easier and make reaching pockets of campus easier. And if you put the wrong people in those positions, then it inhibits you and prevents you from really doing a lot of things that could really be powerful on campus.
That's what I noticed, at least in a couple different ministry contexts, that the change happened when the student leaders understood that part and were reaching out and doing evangelism those first few weeks. Because for me as a staff member, I'm always doing that. That's what we're trained to do. We understand it. A huge reason probably for most staff joining staff is to do evangelism as a primary role in their ministry. So I don't think the staff are the problem. I really do think that the student leaders are the problem or the solution, in the sense of if you have a high percentage of your student leaders participating and get that missional mindset of obviously gathering and friending Christians, but maybe taking those Christians with you to sharing and things like that. So so talk about that maybe. What are even at this few weeks, you're in the fourth week maybe of school there at ASU, like what have you noticed in terms of the student leaders or the students actually implementing these goals or the vision of?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the biggest things is that, you know, our leaders are taught at ASU and even at Chico when I was there to really operate during the year in the specific season of ministry, meaning that first fall is more gathering and making relationships, and then the spring is more kind of mobilizing and kind of reaching out to non-believers. And so we teach our students that there's kind of you can't run the same way the whole time. You have to kind of pace yourself for the year. And so right now we've just been meeting leaders meeting students who have potential for leadership. We've just been building relationships, and I've just been managing my time well, in the sense that not spending or doing things that hurt building initial relationships with people who want to be involved in the movement and who are willing at some point to make an impact. So there's a lot of discernment involved in everything, And there's a lot of long-term vision that's communicated to our students.
Yeah, yeah, I think the long-term is important. And like you said, the cycles of momentum, or whatever phrase you use to describe, that there's obviously different stages or different levels of openness and receptivity for Christians and non-Christians throughout the year. And it's really about helping those students understand when those breaks or seasons happen and then what to actually do in those seasons. And so I know, you know, at Chico, I'm sure every campus varies slightly, but, you know, you were there. What we saw was that a lot of freshmen, especially freshman guys, didn't want to be gathered to anything. They were in that explore mode of, you know, trying the party scene or trying, you know, all these other things besides a Christian community. That was really their primary mode. And then by either the spring semester of their freshman year or even sophomore year was when the change kind of took place, in terms of I'm sick of partying, or this really isn't what I thought it was, the letdown. And then there's this new window of openness. So do you notice any of that too, in terms of just even the fall not being the ideal season to win or gather those either kind of raw Christians or non-Christians?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, I mean, just to even like clarify too, like I think that, you know, when people hear the word gather, they immediately think that they're not winning. but I definitely think that gathering and winning are kind of go hand in hand and are kind of one thing. And and so I think I'm always winning when I'm gathering, and when I'm winning, I'm trying to gather. So anyways. As far as like the guy situation and that, like, yeah, there's definitely people who are partying and whatever, and I'm fully expecting in spring to welcome those who have kind of been sick of that scene for a while. But right now I really just have to focus on those who want to get involved and want to know what we're about. And I have to really focus on communicating our vision and setting up the building blocks for these guys who are freshmen to be very effective sophomore, junior, and hopefully.
And don't you think, too, that even in this whole process, like you mentioned, of really when we're – the tension I think that a lot of staff are facing is this old model or I guess an old culture of – non-believers and believers being equally or relatively equally open to the gospel. So 50 years ago, there wasn't a lot of difference between a non-Christian and a Christian in terms of how open they were to, one, being a part of a Christian community, and then, two, being a part of or hearing or receiving the actual gospel. So I think it seems to me, I don't know, I can't read people's minds, but a lot of times when I hear people separating evangelism from gathering, it's there's something related to that in the sense of they're expecting non-believers to be as open or to the gospel and to a gospel community. Do you agree with that, or have you thought about it?
There's a lot of factors. You know, I think that it when you read the Bible, you would like to think that that everyone, you know, that churches and even movements are built on purely just sharing the gospel and then people coming to faith and then joining in. But I just think nowadays there's just a lot of relational aspects to winning and gathering and basically I just think that we can really share the gospel and have people receive Christ once those Christians get the vision and kind of look outside themselves. And so, I mean, I don't necessarily understand all that well sometimes the full separation between evangelism and gathering and winning, because, again, I think that they coexist.
Right. Well, the other thing, too, for me is even statistically, not just in Chico or one movement, but across Campus Crusade, the majority of people, new believers that trust Christ, that actually stay involved and either join staff or become a missional leader in some form or fashion, are the ones that come to Christ through the community, you know, the body mode, if you will, not the necessarily going out randomly or going out in the first week and they just have this amazing experience. I remember at Chico, we had a few, the students that did have that during the first 4 weeks that came to Christ, often I would say about 80% of them didn't end up staying, you know, whereas the ones that got involved, that came in through an invite from a friend or sat around and actually took the Christian, you know, the community in first and then heard the gospel, those are the ones that stuck too. So I think that adds another layer as well to the conversation in terms of effectively or most effectively, that type of thing isn't the goal anyways, to see 50 people just trust Christ out of the blue during the first 4 weeks. So, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it just seems like if...
Yeah. I was just going to... I was just going to say, like, yeah, I think that that's the biggest point you just made there is the goal is not necessarily just have 50 people receive Christ and then there's no one else, there's no other peers who are walking with God, and so they eventually just leave, and then you've done your job. But the goal is to win, build, and send. And, you know, gathering is a form of winning and building up in their faith and ultimately sending them out into their workforce or into a ministry setting fully equipped to do their job. And so that is pretty much the goal of what we're doing. And then to reach the campus with these people who are involved.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a reality TV show example of this in action, but couldn't do it there. So, but yeah, what about the – I liked going over to Bob Foose's Twitter page. If you don't follow him, you should. It's at Bob Foose, F-U-H-S. But he has – I'll just read a few, and then maybe, Dan, you can just talk about what you think. Like, he wrote to Destino Eric, I think it's about gathering as we win. You find those Christians as you engage the campus with the gospel. Odds are good that it's the first time a Christian kid has ever seen the gospel presented during those first 4 weeks. So it's training for them, is what he's saying. And then he said, maybe we need to think in terms of turning lost and found students into Christ-centered laborers. So lots of good stuff there. Any thoughts on that?
I think that what Bob said is just, you know, absolutely right on. And even kind of mentioning that the gathering winning are, again, part of each other. And I think that, you know, I think there's a lot of, I mean, especially in Campus Crusade, there's a lot of, like, looking at Bill Bright and, you know, the past and thinking that, you know, just everyone, you know, received Christ and then was involved in the movement through ministry mode evangelism, which there is a huge aspect of the four laws and some of the tools back then being way more effective than they are now. But you know, even reading Bill Bright's book, Amazing Faith, it's clear to me that he would talk about how when he would do talks, he'd be on campus, he'd be preaching or talking to get Christians that he had already gathered and have them walk in the Spirit to ultimately reach non-Christians on campus. I think Bill mentioned that a couple times, that he wouldn't reach the campus through just evangelism. What he would do is he'd want to make disciples and teach them to walk in the Spirit. And I think that is true today. I really think that that strategy is the same today.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of just confusion. It seems like everybody at the core wants to do the right thing and actually understands all these principles, but I think there is a cultural piece of there's kind of a right way that's been portrayed of doing certain things. And then if you deviate from that, you're doing something wrong, you know, or you're no longer, you know, reaching people, you're gathering people. And gathering has had this negative connotation in the past, just because I think from what I've seen, those that are gathered aren't really sent to. And so I think that's a separate issue. You know, it's connected in some way, but it's not the point of not, we should not gather, I guess, during the first 4 weeks, just because sometimes when we gather people, they don't end up being sent. I think those things kind of blur together. So maybe too, like, what if you're at a campus though right now and over 50% of your student leaders don't understand how to do missional, let's call it missional gathering. I think that's a good hybrid term based on all this stuff, because it adds the gospel and the reaching element, but it's also grounded in reality that you're really bringing people in too. So like, what if you have a large group of student leaders that don't understand missional gathering and you're in the middle of the fall? Like what are some things you can do practically, realistically, besides boot them all out, which I know is my preference, but I doubt is really the right answer. So if that's taken away, like what can you do to start to align student leaders to
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's the key word there, is that that's where the job of a staff member is alignment, and which the majority of our job seems to be alignment to what we're about. And I just really think it comes down to looking at kind of what God has done and celebrating the things that has worked, whatever, but ultimately still hammering it in the vision with them that, you know, it's not about us and it's about reaching this campus, and that staff can't reach the campus and that students are the ones that will. And when you communicate that, it really gives students a higher purpose, a bigger purpose in mind, and I think gets them motivated to look outside themselves to really be intentional with the people around them. And once you state the vision and you state the value of that person within the vision, I think there comes a huge alignment and a missional focus to the campus.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking practically, you don't hang out with that student leader. You know, the biggest one I see with student leaders that aren't aligned to missional gathering is they want to hang out with you the first 4 weeks, or they want to set up these events that, you know, bring people that already exist together and, you know, have this kind of not totally insider, but just a more community-based thing. And, you know, for me, it would be as a staff, as a leader, saying, you know, no meetings for the first 4 weeks, no coffee appointments, just you. If you do go to coffee, bring a new person, even if it's a Christian, just bring somebody with you. Model the part of the missional part of gathering, you know, don't just gather yourselves together. Matt McComas left a comment on the blog friends post, and he mentioned that, you know, of doing ministry with those that will go with you. And I think that's the key. If they won't go with you on these missional gathering events, and then they really shouldn't be leading. But you don't, you know, if they are leading, you just don't have to spend your time with them. You don't have to give them room to do something besides missionally gather those first 4 weeks. But So trying to keep these podcasts short since it's the first one. Even let's just close with like the value of Twitter. For I know some staff are still not sure about getting on it or whatever, but pretty cool yesterday, just, you know, a couple questions that were thrown out ended up being this great discussion. And what would you say even for staff that are, you know, just not sure about getting on Twitter or even talking about things like this online in general?
I would say you're missing out on a lot, because first of all, Twitter has become the way to talk to each other in a convenient way about ideas and ministry techniques that can all help us. And I'm just going to give this quick example of the first week. ASU did these snow cone tables, and I put it on Twitter. And I had questions from other campuses, U of A, San Jose State, UC Santa Barbara, about how we did it. And even Chico, who started it the first week too, is getting a snow cone table, and they saw fruit from that. And I would have never been able to communicate this to other staff if it wasn't for Twitter. And in the early days, staff was so small that they could talk all the time with each other. And that is, we're so big right now that there's no place we can do that. Where that is happening is on blogs and Twitter. And so you need to be on that to because we want to hear your ideas, but we want to work as a team to reach the campuses of America. And
I would say that the extra piece for Twitter is that not a lot of students are on it. And so it is a little bit more of a free environment to share ministry thoughts. Facebook is great, but a lot of times, you know, students are reading your pages, and so you can't necessarily share or talk as freely about ministry philosophy things just because of the audience. And so, again, another plug that Twitter allows a little bit more of a back channel conversation to go on. So anyways, Dan, thanks for joining me here, and hopefully we can get some of these guys that actually were part of this conversation too in the future. But again, the Rethink Blog Friends is a place for ministry philosophy to be discussed. It's metabelle.com, B-E-L-L-E .com. And so, yeah, check it out, or follow us on Twitter at CCC Blog Friends, F-E-R-E-N-C-E. And yeah, hope this is helpful, and hope we can continue just talking about these issues, because I think they're super important. So thanks, Dan, and we will talk to you guys soon.